The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gerard Mayo this morning, WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here today. Phone number 617-779-7937. Wanted to get to the Patriots here and some things that Mayo updated us on today, some news anyway, about Christian Barmore and Cole Strange, who are both slated to return this season. I think he said Barmore's on a faster track than Strange, which
basically
is
said day-to-day. He said he could be out there today. Now, subsequent reports have said he was not out there, but that, I mean, if he could have been out there today, that puts him in the day-to-day category, and that's kind of a big deal. You can argue he's your best player, and to add him to the middle of that defense would probably be a boon, especially for people like Courtney that look at this stretch and say winnable games, go on a run, win six games, make the playoffs. I mean, I think it's still ridiculous, but, you know, you're adding a very good player.
She said a six-win team's going to make the playoffs?
No. Six wins in the next seven.
Oh, okay, sorry. I misunderstood that. I was like, that'd be a record, right? I remember the Saints went like 7-9 and made the playoffs 1 year. I don't think a six-win team's ever, in the old days, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Certainly, I don't think that's ever happened. But, yeah, I mean, listen, stranger things than that may have happened, but not a six-win team making the playoffs. That'd be a record.
Other than the strike years.
Who are you more? Between Cole Strange and Christian Barmore, Barmore's the better player, obviously. But who's the more important guy to get back? It might be Strange.
It's a very good job by host one to kind of push this in a certain direction.
Yeah.
I know what Christian Barmore is. He's the guy with the biggest guarantee in his contract since Tom Brady. He is a centerpiece of the defense. I don't really need to see him this year. If anything, if I go down my you-don't-know-football-heart road of he could hurt a draft pick, okay, come back next year. Cole Strange, I have no idea what he is. I mean, I've been dumb enough to suggest he should move to fullback. Is he a starting guard? Is he going to get cut in the offseason? Who is he, the center? Is he going to replace David Andrews moving forward? What the hell is Cole Strange for this team? So in terms of a need to know and put it on tape and get a scouting report and figure out what the hell you're using a guy for, I'd love to see Cole Strange over the second half of the season.
Yeah, I would too. Not that I think he's going to save the offensive line or anything.
Nope.
And I do think the line was better, certainly, against the Bears. I thought that was the offensive line's best game of the season in terms of pass protection. Maybe not run blocking, but it was better than it's been lately. So, you know, you might be starting to see the vision a little bit. You know, I said that on Monday.
Blurry,
I think
it's hazy.
It's blurry. It's not all there. But I do think they did come into this season with a plan. That was sort of the idea as well. Did they even really have a plan, or were they just sort of giving you lip service? I don't know if that was an easy question to answer over the first 5-6 weeks. But now I see a plan coming into form a little bit.
No.
What do you mean, though?
Now you're being the weird optimistic guy.
I'm not saying it's good. They're going to win. I'm just
their
saying.
Their starting center played for the Raiders.
Right.
Their starting right tackle played for Vikings. I don't know. And their starting left guard was on their they didn't have a plan. They grabbed bodies out of nowhere and put them together and hoped.
I'm not talking about individual guys on the line. I'm talking about them being a run-first, defensive-minded team. That's what I mean.
Oh,
you know, like
okay.
The actual plan for the team, not each individual guy. Like, well, you're right about that.
Yeah, but I agree they had that plan. The flaw is they didn't have the line to run that plan.
Exactly.
And now they may have stumbled somehow into an acceptable, competent version of that line, because that's the other thing Gerard Mayo said today was he is hopeful of and believing of that they're going to run the same line out there for two straight weeks and that could have a positive effect. Now, I don't think it will.
Who'd have thought?
Well, yes. I mean, in general, yes.
Right.
But I think Jared Verse is like, oh, you think this guy's going to block me? Good luck with that. He's out here 2 weeks in a row. That makes you feel good because I'm going to whoop his ass as a rookie pass rusher.
Yeah, probably. The Patriots practicing today as they get ready for the Rams, who are coming up this week, a team that we just saw in action the other night as they lost to the Miami Dolphins, a team that I think the Patriots are going to struggle with, but I also thought they were going to have a lot more trouble with the Bears and that offensive talent. I'm wondering if maybe you look at their secondary, you're looking at these teams with these high-powered passing attacks, you know, I'm using air quotes there talking about the Bears. The Rams have a quarterback who's a lot more reliable, I'd say, than Caleb Williams. And even with that, they struggled. They struggled to defend off the Dolphins' pass rush. They struggled getting open against the Dolphins' secondary, which we've seen already this year. Not really all that impressive. I mean, they were good against Jacoby Brissett and held him to 10 points. But in general, I wasn't blown away by the Miami defense really at any point this season. Nope. And I think that in general, that's indicative to me of a Rams team that has been shrinking away from the moment. I know they've been banged up. I know they've had a ton of injuries, and they're mostly healthy right now. I do like Jared Verse, and I think that their offense is one that the Patriots would love to have, but I don't know. I mean, I think this is the type of game that if the Patriots defense can carry that momentum and that confidence and everything that they had in that Bears game into another week, coming back home, they could hang around in this game. I don't think that's out of the question at all.
So everybody tried to paint last week as a get-right game.
Yep.
I think this could be a get-wrong game.
Hmm.
I think there's a chance the Rams blow doors off the Patriots.
I thought that about the Bears.
Yeah.
I thought the Bears.
I'm not saying I'm necessarily right. I just have concerns. I voiced it about Jared Verse. I think he's a good player that's going to give them problems. Offensively, I think they have – that's a really good quarterback,
yeah.
Matthew Stafford. And Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, that's a tandem of receivers that's getting healthy. You have Gonzo. How do you feel about the other matchup? See where that goes. See if Duggar's out there. But they run the ball with Kyren Williams. He's a guy that Mayo was talking about today, a true three-down back. And they're getting healthy on both sides of the line, which I think has been an issue for them. I know people are feeling themselves a little bit for the Patriots, even Gerard Mayo. You know, we need a win streak. We haven't had a win streak in a while. We got to learn how to win. I agree with that. And I think this pass rush with Drake May, and we've talked about it, he hasn't had the great game. He also hasn't had the rookie game.
Right.
The real bad, ugly, no plays, all turnovers, chicken with his head cut off, uncomfortable game. I feel like that one's coming at some point, too, and I don't rule out the Rams being that one.
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility.
How did I get negative?
I don't know.
Positive. The honeymoon, Andy, negative? What are we doing?
It's not negative to say that at some point Drake May is going to have a bad game in his rookie season. That's not negative. That's just being a human being. I mean, come on.
I think they lose by 3 scores.
Really? Well, that's a little negative. The Titans game, I thought, was a lot of turnovers. I mean, he had a lot of turnovers in that game. That wasn't a good game.
Yeah, but he made some plays.
He had the big play at the end, but, I mean, he had the two picks and the strip sack. So, I don't know. I mean, it could get worse.
Was acceptable. One of the picks was not totally his fault.
No. Well, which one?
The booty.
The booty one?
It was
where
like,
he threw into double coverage?
Hey, you threw a pick. I'm going to watch it. This is a good seat I got here.
And it was
this is like VR.
5 yards underthrown. I mean, come on. That was not a good throw.
It was
and
windy.
He admitted as much. So you don't throw the ball into the wind then. Or maybe have your coach know which way the wind's blowing before you go into overtime there. 617-779-7937. The upcoming free agent class has been ranked by ESPN. And I thought there was some real interesting names in there at different points. I think that in general, if the Patriots want to go out and spend a lot of money in free agency, they certainly have the money to do it. They had the money to do it this past season, but they're going to run into a roadblock that was present here this past offseason, and that is the fact that a lot of these guys might not even hit the market. We'll get into the top 25 free agents, what they could mean for the Patriots, and how this draft class, not this draft class, but this free agent class, how it's going to look all after Stiz gets you caught up on.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
You know, I forgot he added that little part at the end about the quarterback situation. I totally forgot about that.
And by the way,
I remember the finance part because he said it so funny. He said finance instead of finance.
No, he said it the way rich people who have a lot of money.
That's right, exactly. That's why it was so unfamiliar to me. But yeah, the way he said that. And then at the end, also, you know,
quarterback situation.
Joke's on him.
Interesting. I forget that whole aspect. That kind of adds another dimension to the whole line of thinking, doesn't it? Well, you know, we're not an attractive landing spot because we don't have a quarterback. And also, you know, the millionaire's tax and everything else. And the girlfriend didn't want to be here and blah, 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 blah. Turns out they didn't have the best offer anyway. Tennessee did outbid them. And that was part of it that Kraft never really addressed. And Calvin Ridley, I know that people poo-pooed this, is on pace for about 1,000 yards in Tennessee on a bad team. But that's still a productive receiver and someone that I'm sure Drake May would love to have and would make this offense much better and everything else. So, yeah, maybe the quarterback situation at that point wasn't settled and you didn't know it was going to be happening there. But if you had gone over the top and made the best offer, then I think you could have probably gotten Ridley to come here. And I think that would have been great for Drake May. And I think that, I don't know, we'd be having a different conversation about the season and where it's going and all that. I think you'd still be a bad team. But that could have made a difference. I do think that could have made a difference.
There was also a little Craig Breslow Red Sox talk there.
A little bit. Yeah.
Like, you know, he started to do present tense or past tense and say we went further because of the millionaire. Well, we would have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they know you would have? Because if you don't put an offer out there,
right,
how do they know? So I don't.
Oh, we totally would have spent more. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, why didn't you? If you really wanted him, like that annoys me. That is also finance. You literally finance just admitted finance was part of it because you had to maybe improve your offer due to the taxes, which I don't know whether I believe or not. I'm a little lukewarm on that. It kind of annoys me. And if you do. If you want the player, increase the offer. Don't tell me later you could have or would have. Do. And then tell me you did, and he turned it down. And his girlfriend wanted to go to... Didn't we find out it was actually his wife, too? That it wasn't a girlfriend?
Don't remember. But yeah, I think it was the wife.
It was the wife, yeah.
In Tennessee. And
the wife wanted to go to Jacksonville. The girlfriend wanted to go to Tennessee.
Right.
And the biggest part might have been the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It might not even have been the money. Like, those recruiting videos I talk about now?
Right. Well,
you think he'd rather play with Will Levis and Sam... No, Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
Or would he rather be getting on the choo-choo Drake May train?
I'm sure he'd rather be getting on the Drake May train, but he also said, all right, I'll go play with Will Levis.
Yeah.
You know, like, over Trevor Lawrence, who he had been with before. Like, I don't think the quarterback situation had a bloody thing to do with it. I think it was all finance, and I think that was why they lost out on him. Now, ESPN has put out a top 25 upcoming free agent list. There was other guys. I mean, like, Dak Prescott was going to be a free agent, Justin Jefferson, L'Jarius Sneed. There was all these names, and they all signed big extensions. So there's a lot of guys who were in the beginning of the year upcoming free agents who are not going to be upcoming free agents anymore. So this is the current top 25 free agents who could all be franchise tagged and everything. So, you know, they may not hit the market, but let's go ahead and start with number one. I know you like him, Andy T. Higgins, number one wide receiver. Why should we believe that the same thing that happened with Calvin Ridley won't happen with T. Higgins?
Because, A, I think they will be more all in. I agree with them.
I hope so.
If they are, because I think T. Higgins is light years better than Calvin Ridley. I think T. Higgins has the potential to be a true number one receiver. The pushback is valid. He's never been a true number one receiver because you have Ja'Marr Chase there, and that is really a true number one receiver. But I've seen enough from T. Higgins that I would like to see what he could do as the number one here in New England. And I think, I mean, it's just going to cost you a boatload of money, $100 and whatever million,
yep,
$30 whatever million a year, probably, to get T. Higgins. But that's the world you're in, because there's not a lot of those guys. There's just, you know, we had a texter that said the cap goes up every year and everyone signs their own free agents. And that is sort of the modern reality.
It's true.
In recent years, the cap has gone up so quickly. Quarterbacks, sign them. Wide receivers, sign them. Some guy on the 49ers that I didn't know was a $100 million player got $100 million yesterday.
Yep.
Did that stick out to you? I was not aware that, you know, when we have these best young corners in football, you got Christian Gonzalez, he's great. Yeah, the 49ers just gave a guy $100 million that
I thought was just one of their starting cornerbacks. I didn't know he was something special.
I'll tell you what, the Niners, I thought, were maybe going to slow down with the money a little bit.
Yes, no,
definitely not.
They kept both receivers. They kept a corner. They got pass rushers. They, like,
Lenore, is that his name?
Yes.
Demoter Lenore? I could not tell you anything about him.
I know.
And Five years, $92 million.
I don't totally disagree with that. It's a little embarrassing for us to admit on major sports talk radio. We played them.
Yeah.
It's not even like, ah, oh, he's on the West Coast. I never see those Niners game. I'm doing Six Rings post-game show when they play. No, we played them
this year.
We sure did. And they just gave that guy $100 million.
They did. And he's probably pretty good. I don't think they give out money like that to guys who aren't good. But, yeah, that's a... That's an interesting one. He's been with the Niners since 2021. He was drafted in the Mac Jones draft, fifth-round pick, Diamodor Lenore.
He's a high Modor player.
Diamodor Lenore. Okay, so good for him, and good for the entire Lenore family. Stiz isn't listening.
Not even listening to the show.
So, okay, T. Higgins, number one.
Neither
neither of them are. Number two, let's go with Trey Smith, guard from the Chiefs. He's going to be 26 years old, part of that good offensive line in Kansas City. Is guard even a position that we're caring about?
Oh, I'd like to upgrade my guard.
I certainly would.
But it's not near the top of my list of upgrades. I don't think I would be allocating significant funds to sign their guard.
Okay, no. How about safety Javon Holland, 25-year-old safety on the Dolphins. He's number three.
So I think safety is an interesting position.
Considered a top five safety in
the
NFL.
Yeah. And Buda Baker is on this list
somewhere
down 20s, late teens.
And you saw a mock draft where the Patriots were taking safeties,
right? Oh, shoot, yeah. What was that guy's name? I got to look that up.
All right, well, either way, I mean, that could be something that they target now that Peppers is out and there's nothing really other than Duggar. I mean, safety could be a free agent target position for sure.
Well, I think they have a bunch of those positions, like Khalil Mack's on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be opposed to adding a veteran pass rusher.
Not at
Khalil Mack prime of career money, but I think they're in need of some of those guys where complementary backside of career, but still can help you, you know, be the leaders in the room, develop, help mentor some of the younger players. He's some of those guys, Buda Baker, Khalil Mack, interesting names. They wouldn't be on top of my list though, because I'm looking. I hate that there's no tackles. This is starting to come to fruition.
There's a couple of tackles.
Yeah.
Tyron Smith, Ronnie Stanley. I mean, I'd imagine Stanley resigns.
Two guys that are 107 and have missed a lot of time in recent years.
True.
And that's starting to bother me with all the tackle talk in the draft that they're not as good. They're really guards. It's like, are there no tackles available? You're going to have to get super creative. You don't even have, like, Darisaw resigned. I don't know who's next that might get into a contract dispute with somebody.
Mm.
But I this is starting to be a... something I didn't foresee, that there were no real great tackle options for this team to fill what might be its biggest need.
You interested in any cornerbacks? Because there's DJ Reed and Charvarius Ward are numbers 4 and 5. Reed's one of the top-rated. I know he had that bad game last week, but he's one of the top-rated DBs in the whole league.
I know, because I'm not looking to send $100 million to one of those guys when in a couple of years I'm going to give $100 million to Christian Gonzalez.
Right. Okay, so forget them. Amari Cooper?
I don't love it. You know, you've mentioned a lot of drops. I think he's a second-tier player at this point in his career. He's been very good in a lot of places. That's the one thing I like about
him. Consistent.
Feels like kind of a plug-and-play wide receiver. And, I mean, I guess if you really wanted to do kind of your Bears thing and really say, we're surrounding Drake May, damn it, we're getting T. Higgins and Amari Cooper, you could do that. I'm probably more of T. Higgins and a draft pick, and those are my big upgrades at the wide receiver position, so not totally in on that.
A couple other wide receivers, just to round that out, number 10 is Chris Godwin, and lower down on the list at 23, Deontay Johnson. Any interest in either of them?
Not Deontay Johnson. I think he would be adding another questionable apple to the cart here. There's enough questionable apples in this cart already.
He's more talented than them, maybe.
He's absolutely more talented than them, but I want to get more talented, but also better, improve that room. A little bit. And who's the other? Oh, Chris Godwin.
And Godwin.
Coming off the injury.
Yep.
What's his value? If he wants to be a lower value guy and I can add two veteran guys and his health status kind of helps me land him, sure. But he's not at the top of my list.
Okay, that pretty much rounds it out. Nick Bolton and Dre Greenlaw. There's some linebackers there in case this this injury.
I think they need help there.
Yeah, they. I mean, they
probably
do. I think
they could use depth
at
linebacker.
McMillan just got cut, right?
Raekwon McMillan?
Raekwon McMillan,
yeah,
he's gone. So,
I think those are some of the areas where they need to do a really good job reading the market, and whatever market goes
I think this class kind of sucks, by the way.
It's not great.
It's not a good free agent class.
I'm not sure.
If you were hoping that this was going to be the way that they rescue the team and pull it back up out of the basement, like, I'm not sure that this is the type of free agent class where you're like, oh, yeah, whoever has a lot of money to spend this year, they're going to really transform their team. I don't know about that.
And then the flip side of that is, and I know Burt Breer's been talking and tweeting about this, there's also starting to be this belief it's not a great year to have a top five or top 10 pick.
Spiffy.
So suddenly we have a top 10 pick that isn't that valuable and $130 million that isn't that valuable.
Yeah, and that sucks. And that's just the reality of when you're a bad team, the type of challenges that you're going to face. They're not all going to be great free agent classes, and they're not all going to be great drafts. Last year's draft is looking like, in general, in the first round, there was a lot of great players that went out there. You got one of them, and then after that, you didn't really get anything.
Nope.
Free agent-wise, you didn't get all that much. You rounded out the roster, basically, with guys like Hooper and guys like Antonio Gibson, but that's it. You know, you got depth pieces, and that's maybe what you're going to be looking at here. Now, if you want to go and throw a lot of money at T. Higgins and you bring him in, I'll shut up and I'll say, hey, you know what? You did something different this time. You went out there and you spent the most money on the number one wide receiver, and the Patriots don't do that, and it's a new day here in New England, and good job on you, because you need to do it to help this this quarterback out. But I'm not convinced that any of those wide receivers even hit the market, and if they do, I mean, the only one you might have a real shot at is Deontay Johnson.
And I don't love that. Wasn't Tomlin taking shots at him today?
Yes.
Like,
he's like, there's other guys on that team we have to really worry about.
I don't really have to worry about him watching him on tape. I kind of liked that shot from Mike Tomlin. I think one thing that helps a little bit maybe with T. Higgins is the better that Ja'Marr Chase plays, the more that price tag goes up.
Sure.
And I wonder if they were planning on doing your thing, doing the Eagles thing, the Dolphins thing, where, oh, no, we're going to re-sign both our wide receivers, and Ja'Marr Chase maybe prices himself out of that plan. That could help them, because he's been awesome, and the price tag absolutely is going up.
And the Bengals are probably going to have a decent draft pick this year, because as good as that offense is, they don't win anything.
Right.
And they're probably going to be back in the top 10, so they could draft another receiver like Minnesota did.
Yep.
And have somebody to and move on from
which
Higgins.
Is probably the smarter plan for them, if they
money-wise, and definitely
money-wise. But I mean, if you feel confident that you can get a decent receiver, you're not the Patriots. You're the opposite of the Patriots. You've developed T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. You have the ability to scout and develop wide receiver talent. That may help you, but I'm starting to more and more think that's the way to go, because you have a boatload of money. So what does it matter if you overpay T. Higgins? If you give him, is he really worth $35 million? I don't know. He's probably not. He's not as good as those guys. He's not Justin Jefferson. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not Ja'Marr Chase.
Nope.
But what does it matter, and what are you saving it for? You saved it last year. I kind of carried your water a little bit and said, well, you know, Tyron Smith, not worth it. You know, some of the Calvin Ridley, not really worth it. How many years in a row are you going to say not worth it before you're just stuck there holding your you-know-what? And I mean money.
Right.
And something else.
And Texter's like, well, you just said you would, you'd be all in on Calvin Ridley, but you don't want Amari Cooper. Of course I want Amari Cooper. I definitely want Amari Cooper. I want Cooper and Ridley. We could have had both of them. I think that's sort of the point here, is that you can do a lot of things that you're not doing. And when someone shakes loose and is available, I don't know that Cooper's going to be available. Buffalo's probably going to re-sign him. I'd imagine Buffalo looks at the wide receiver free agency landscape and says, you know what? We better keep this guy here, because there's not really anything else.
Especially if it works.
Yeah.
If they build a little bit of a rapport over the second half of the season, he makes some plays, makes some catches, and they look at free agency and they say, I mean, we're going to risk moving on from this guy to see if something else may or may not work.
See if Deontay Johnson can come here and work. Like, no, they're not going to do that.
No, absolutely, there's a good chance I would think that they would be interested in re-signing him.
Yeah, he might get franchise. I mean, a lot of things can happen, and I think that that's sort of the point, is even if you love this free agent list, and I don't know how you could, but even if you love this free agent list for the Patriots, it's probably going to get cut in half, maybe even more than that, with guys re-signing or guys getting franchised or guys just not being made available. These are people who have not signed long-term extensions yet, right?
Right.
Like, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's going to be here until the end of the season. So, I don't know. I like that they have money to spend. I like that they have the flexibility to do that. I just think anybody who's really, really putting all their eggs in the free agent basket here with this team and how to rebuild it and how to rebuild the offense is in for another consecutive here rude awakening.
Well, but the reality is they're putting their eggs in the free agent basket.
You're right.
And they kind of knew it, I think. Based on the way they did their business, it was step one, re-sign our players, find what the foundational core that we're retaining is, allow Bill Belichick to brag that they re-signed all my players. Step two, bring in new talent. Except, I'm not sure how much talent's available, and I do think some of that is market-wise. I don't necessarily blame them, but this is how business is in the NFL.
Right.
Like, T. teams re-sign their own good players. This list, the only guy I'd be willing to kind of go all in on is T. Higgins. Because he's a young player who I do think has Pro Bowl upside.
Mm-hmm.
So if I overpay a little, but other guys, you know, Ronnie Stanley, a 31-year-old tackle who's missed, I don't know, dozen-plus games over the last couple years, do I really want to go all in on that and give him some massive contract? Is there anybody on that list that you look at and say, I'd like to go all in?
Honestly, no.
No.
Not even Higgins. I don't know if I'd go all in for. I mean, I'd take him, obviously, but I don't think he's that kind of talent. He's not the kind of talent that he'd even with Ridley, like, I wanted him. But you're talking about, and I'm sort of going by, like, the ownership's perspective here, because I would take all these guys. So that's not, I don't know. But you talk about going all in, do you think this team is going to go all in for any of these guys? I just don't think so. I'd be surprised. And I think there's going to be other teams that will, like before, be more invested in it and think, you know, we need this guy, we need Higgins, we need Cooper, we need whoever, and we're going to make that, and we need Godwin, and we're going to make that happen matter what.
Why are other teams going to do that, and you're the team that needs to do that?
Because the Patriots have historically undervalued wide receivers in free agency and in the draft and everywhere. I think that's been an organizational philosophy for a long time.
And the damnedest thing, they don't have any right wide receivers that can play.
How about that? 617-779-7937. Colton is in Chicopee. Go ahead, Colton.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, Andy, congrats on getting your show. You deserved it. You've been good for a long time.
Thanks.
So, a couple things. As far as free agency goes, obviously T. Higgins, we would love him. And I like the point you made about defense. Add a couple guys, you know, bring a veteran presence. But what I really would like to see them do is draft Will Campbell, that offensive lineman out of LSU, and then draft, this is, might sound crazy, but a running back high, maybe in the second round. If you look at Jahmyr Gibbs, if they can find a well, they don't have a home run hitter at all. I feel like adding a running back like that, and then if you add Higgins with that new tackle, Will Campbell, and then just draft defense rest of the way, because their defense is obviously not looking that great. So they need help on defense. Obviously, we need to get that O-line. But I like Campbell. Higgins, pipe dream. I really hope so. But what I really think they should do is get a sick, you know, like a third down, fast, complimentary, home running hitting, you know, running back, you know, Gibbs type. Really.
All right. Thanks, Colton. Appreciate it.
So, you know what?
Was he clapping along with each point?
Maybe he really liked his points. No.
He was like, you know what? I want T. Higgins. I want Campbell. And I think you got to get a running back. And blah, 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 blah.
Maybe he was doing like
round of applause.
Syllables or like poetry.
That could be. Yeah.
Iambic pentameter. And he was trying to get like all the to flow properly.
You ever have someone like you're yelling at someone and they start clapping as they're yelling back at you? They're like, you don't understand what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? You ever have that? I hate that.
I don't think I have.
Whenever people do that, it drives me nuts. Stiz knows what
good
I'm
to know.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You must, Andy. You must have had that. Oh,
good to know. Moving forward, yeah, when we're in a fight, I'm going to start clapping.
That's the worst.
You know what really bothers
that
me?
That triggers me when people do that.
People that do. You're in an argument, a discussion, whatever, and talk with their eyes closed. The talking with your eyes closed.
Talking
thing
with your eye. Oh, like you just
creeps.
You can't even do it. So you.
Yeah.
Have to,
what
yeah,
is that?
No, I know.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I just want to punch them in the face while their eyes are closed.
They won't see it coming.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the time
I hate
to do it.
But the funny thing about Colton's call. Virtually every position he could sell me on, you know what they really should do in the second round? Pass rusher, tight end, safety
corner, all
almost
these things.
Anything.
Linebacker, all that stuff.
You
yeah.
could sell me on, and that tells you how much
best available.
We think they need.
Yeah.
Tackle and wide receiver, I think, are must-haves. Those two have to be at the top of the list for me in some order, free agency and draft. Everything else, you can sell me on.
Yep,
go get a running back who can be a game changer. Go get a tight end who can be a game changer. Get a free safety, your two, you know, big box heavy safety. What a D-tackle, get rid of Godchon, bring in a D-tackle. Every other position on the roster, except maybe punter, punt returner,
right.
Like a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
You could sell me on.
Yeah.
And that tells you how much I think they need in terms of talent.
For more on that, we'll be joined next by the great Adam Schefter, ESPN. Don't go anywhere. Schefter joins us next. WEEI Afternoons. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. We're going to be joined momentarily by Adam Schefter of ESPN. Get his take on pretty nice win for the Patriots over a struggling Chicago Bears team that made a change at offensive coordinator. We'll get the inside scoop on that here in just a moment. As a lot of stuff going on in the world of the NFL today. Anthony Richardson's going to be back QB in the Colts. You got the whole thing going on in Jacksonville. And for more on that, here is ESPN's Adam Schefter, brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman Electric. It's electric. Adam Schefter, how are we doing today?
What is going on, gentlemen? How are we doing? Another week.
Doing very well. The Patriots got a nice win over a Chicago Bears team that made some changes. The Patriots losing to the Patriots, Adam, seems like it's been rock bottom for a couple of teams this year. Can you take us maybe inside the decision and what was, I think, is something in Bears fans and reporters that we talked to certainly were not surprised by as they lose. Caleb Williams has a tough game, and Waldron has shown the door.
Well, listen. I think that they've gone now two straight games without scoring an offensive touchdown. What is it, like 32 straight drives, something to that effect. Whatever it is, the offense has looked completely discombobulated. Caleb Williams looks like he's regressing. It looks like they're getting worse as an offense. You got players complaining. They had organizational meetings Monday, and you knew something was going to happen. And there were a lot of things that were discussed, including putting Caleb Williams on the bench. That came up. But they decided to bench the offensive coordinator, and that is the second offensive coordinator in less than a year that Matt Eberflus now has fired. And so, you know, that listen, it's looked bleak there for a while. Like, when we see Drake May right now, and maybe it won't be the case every week, but we see signs of hope and progress, and you see this guy playing, you go, wow, there's something there. And you saw that maybe early in the year with Caleb Williams, but you haven't seen it lately. And when you're not seeing progress from the number one overall pick, a player that many thought was the top prospect in this draft, and the Bears made him the number one overall pick, when you're not seeing that, time to make a change, and that's what the Bears did.
Adam, I think it was Jerry Glanville who had that famous not for long is what the NFL stood for, and it feels like that's more appropriate than ever. Is there less patience from ownership and personnel people in the NFL than ever? I mean, we have coordinators being fired in Chicago and Las Vegas half a year in. Yeah. We have quarterbacks that are benched like Bryce Young, barely a season into their career. Will Levis, like, you have these first-round picks that seems like their careers are over barely a year into it. Is there less patience than ever for coaches and QBs?
I wouldn't say that. It's just that there's so much attention on the sport right now. And I think that when results are not immediate, when there's not instant gratification, fans are louder than ever. The cries for change are more frequent than ever. And I think that owners who are making more money than ever as well are apt to be a little less patient than maybe they've been in the past. I think if we go back and look, I would bet you by November 13th, there have been a couple of coordinator changes every year. I don't think it's anything unusual. But, you know, this year you got one in Chicago with a number one overall pick, high profile. You know, look at Carolina last year, number one overall pick, Bryce Young fired the coaching staff.
Yep.
So it happens every year. The circumstances are different, but there's always two, three teams that do this sort of thing in the middle of the season.
One unique thing about this season, I think we all agree on, Adam, is how many bad teams there are, at least by record. Over a third of the league right now is a three-win team or worse. Because there's so many teams that are kind of hovering around that, do any of these three-win teams have any playoff aspirations? I know the most optimistic Patriots fans call us and say things like that, but do any of these teams really believe, even at three wins, that they can be part of this wild card conversation here in a couple weeks?
Well, who are the three-win teams right now? We have New England.
Yep.
You've got Miami.
Dallas.
Miami. I don't see Dallas.
Okay.
I don't see New England. I don't see New England. And if Tua stays healthy, I could see Miami doing it.
Okay.
If Tua stays healthy, I could see Miami at least making things interesting. I could see that happening.
So,
If in fact the Dolphins are a three-win team, they might have four. I don't know.
No. They're three and six. Yeah, they're three and three.
Okay, yeah. I don't rule them out yet. I think that's a pretty talented team that's playing tough defensively, that's capable of making a push. But when you have three wins, your margin of error is so small and so reduced that as soon as you lose a game that you shouldn't, your hopes are basically all but up in smoke.
In your expert opinion, Adam, what do you attribute all these three-win teams to? Why is it so hard to win games in the NFL this year?
Well, again, I think you just have to look at the teams where they are, right? New England's, I think, right where we expected them to be. Like, I think three wins right now is kind of solid for them. If they could finish the season with 6, 7, 8 wins, with the quarterback flashing the way he has, I think they'd be in a good spot. Carolina, that doesn't look like you look at three wins, and we can look at it a lot of different ways. New England, hope. Carolina, bleak. Miami, good team if Tua stays healthy. If he stays healthy. Like, there's a different explanation with all these three-win teams. Now, there are a bunch of two-win teams, and the league does seem a little bit more have and have not this year than in other years. There's usually a little bit more parity. And I think that if I had to guess just off the top of my head, maybe the biggest thing that separates the haves and the have-nots is I think the separation between good quarterback play and bad quarterback play is so pronounced that it literally separates franchises. Carolina has not gotten good quarterback play. New England, for a lot of the season, did not get good quarterback play. Miami, when Tua was out, did not get good quarterback play. So I really believe it's all about that.
Adam, we have been sort of following Bill Belichick's media career all season and also following places that might make sense for him to return to the sidelines. More than midway through the year, some firings have already happened. Jobs are going to line up. It's going to be an interesting January. How do you sort of assess Bill Belichick's coaching future? You still think he wants back in, and do you think he will be a hot candidate?
Yes, he will want back in. Yes, he will be a hot candidate. And I believe that he's going to have the ability to be a little bit select. It's not. I think that he is going to, like, in other words, if New Orleans called, do I think that Bill Belichick aspires to go to New Orleans where we don't know who's playing quarterback and the team has got to clean up some salad? I would not think that that would be a logical fit. I think that there would be other places that would fit more. Look, he is so close to the coaching record right now that, to me, he is going to be in demand. There are going to be teams that want him. I think he'll be back coaching in 2025. And I think it'll probably be for a team that we look at and say they have a chance to compete in 25. That they'll be a playoff contender of some sort. Now, you're firing your head coach, how much of a playoff contender can you be? Well, there are different degrees of that, and I believe that he'll have the chance and the ability to surface with a team that changes head coaches that has a chance to win in 25.
That is the voice of Adam Schefter, ESPN. We appreciate the time today. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Thanks, Adam Schefter. If you missed any part of that, you can have it delivered to your phone daily. Subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. And you can also subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app as well. 617-779-7937, your phone number. And hey, how about this? You know what it is. It's the guest corner. Adam Schefter out. Brian Scalabrini in. We talk to Scal next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.